And welcome to Recruitment in the Modern World. I'm Shara Beckley, and in today's episode, we're focusing on the topic of how to onboard recruits. To discuss this, I am pleased to have with me Fiona Wilson, Managing Director of FJ Wilson Talent Services. Welcome, Fiona.
Thanks, Shara.
Awesome. Well, today's episode is about onboarding, and I know our next episode is going to be about inductions. So just before we get into it, Fiona, could you tell us, I mean, the real difference between the two? I mean, probably for my benefit, but, you know, as I work closely and I guess onboard myself with FJ Wilson, you know, my day job, slightly different, you know, interviewer, it strikes me that the way in which we need to be thinking about all of this is holistically, you know, from the point of the job description to the day they start the job and then, you know, the induction. So specifically zoning into the onboarding process, when does that onboarding process begin?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to start. I mean, ultimately, I think the definition and separation between the two phases is that the onboarding is really the pre-start phase before the employee contractually sort of starts with the actual employer. And going back to the point that you just made, Shara, when does the onboarding process begin? It absolutely begins with the candidate's experience at interview. So providing a great candidate experience, which obviously we've covered in a previous episode, is critical in terms of that initiating of a really positive psychological contract with the employer.
So true. And I remember even just the previous episode, which is episode 4, and looking in at how to handle sort of the counter offers. Why do you think this piece is so important to get right?
I think it goes back to the point that I just said. I think it's all around, number one, establishing the premise for the psychological contract with the employee. Mm. So there's a lot, of course, now articulated around employee engagement, but that often is the focus of existing employees as opposed to looking at the chain of events and the design of that journey that the new recruit has from the point of offer to when they start, and also making sure, which we'll cover, of course, in the next episode, making sure that that induction is really designed so that the new recruit stands the highest likelihood of being successful. So I think there's sort of many things that of why it's important, but fundamentally it's around sort of the psychology of that. And the second is around getting onboarding right goes beyond just the practicalities. It's also around making sure that that candidate's engagement in the role that they're coming in to do, as well as the employer, continues to develop from the point of offer to the first day that they actually contractually start.
Thank you for that, Fiona, because that's really, really essential to really understand, you know, why is this important? So now that's ticked. moving to the what. What's the first thing you can do? I mean, what does good look like?
So I think building on what I just mentioned there is really thinking, stepping back and really thinking what that new hire's journey is before they start. So I think the first thing that you can do is work together with your HR contact to really think about the design of that onboarding. So what typically happens, of course, is when the offer has been made, there is a sort of a shift in terms of contact from the interviewer, the hiring manager, over to the HR contact or team to execute the administration and the paperwork for that individual. But what we often hear is that there is not then a reconnect back to the hiring manager to really ensure that the communication is maximized, the candidate journey continues before they start. So I think the first thing that a hiring manager can do is make sure they're working in partnership with that HR individual to ensure that communication is as good as it can be. And if you've used a recruitment agent or indeed worked with an internal recruiter, it's agreeing with that individual the best way to communicate with the recruit after acceptance so as to avoid duplication, let alone the engagement piece.
Yeah, like you said, you know, avoiding that vacuum that comes about from sort of offer being accepted to day one, which could be in, say, 3 months' time. So digging into the communication piece a little bit more, when you're communicating with the recruit, what kind of information can you send them in this sort of onboarding phase?
Yeah, I mean, from an HR perspective, I think that that's kind of pretty standard, isn't it, in terms of offer, contract, benefits information, reference, you know, all of that is sort of largely designed. I think the key thing, what you're probably trying to get to, is about what kind of information can you send them as the actual hiring manager? And there's a variety of things that can be sent out. But I think ultimately, where the recruit is working out a notice period with the previous employer, it is all about finding ways to continue to engage with the recruit during that period. So sending, for example, links to some helpful online material, of course, is quite a basic thing to do, but again, is something that is often overlooked. And I think actually just moving back further, if I may sort of share, one of the things that sadly is often overlooked is hiring managers not reaching out after the interview and the offer being made to actually pick up the phone themselves to actually congratulate the individual. It can, quite bizarrely, become quite a sterile process actually after the euphoria of a candidate accepting an offer. And what we should all be focused on with a new recruit is really sort of protecting that positivity and also maintaining that momentum of engagement before they start. So I think you have to, again, it's all around dialogue, communication, understanding. If the new recruit is in a very busy role where they'll have little time to do much reading, that obviously needs to be factored in. What we're absolutely not saying is that a new recruit should be overloaded in any way. But majority of people are pretty enthused to get a new role in my humble experience and, you know, really enjoy the gradual immersion into that new relationship. So they're offboarding if they're in a notice period with their existing employer and they are looking to onboard with their new one. So material could be some broader reading around the context for that particular organisation, perhaps some more macro topics around, for example, with professional membership bodies, topics that are affecting the membership population. So that individual is starting to really acclimatise to their new working environment. And that really helps then support the induction actually into the role itself. So I think the time before they start could be best used to gradually immerse that candidate in the wider context for the role and for the employer which they're joining.
Bingo. I feel like that's exactly it, right? When I look back at sort of even my own experiences, I mentioned earlier the day job, but being invited, you know, after my accepted the offer, being invited to lunch before my start date, which actually you've touched on this already as if you knew my next question, but it was going to be when, you know, once the paperwork's out the way, is it just a matter of time waiting until the start date? Is there anything else that you'd like to add to that piece? You know, I've given my example about being invited to lunch, which was an amazing experience.
Well, I think it's a great point that you make, and a meet of the team opportunity is just a wonderful one. Obviously, since March last year, the candidates that we have been placing have all been started remotely. Now, in some cases, when restrictions have allowed, hiring managers have masked up, met their new hires for sort of a walking meet or greet or a catch up, indeed, before that individual starts. When it has been, however, restrained to just a virtual setting, that also can go really well. So, for example, we placed a candidate recently at a professional membership body who met the team virtually, but they'd really thought about the design of that meet and greet beforehand. So the new recruit had sort of sent out questions to all of her new team members. So they had the opportunity to think about that before they came back as a collective. And that just made for a much better meet and greet, as it were, in a virtual setting. So in terms of that point, it is about the personalizing of the experience. And that can be done, of course, with a variety of techniques. It doesn't have to be like a physical meeting up, which of course is precluded at the moment anyway in COVID times. That can be done virtually, but there's a whole plethora of different channels in which to communicate with an individual and indeed someone who's still busy in a notice period. Going back, Sarah, to what you said about what kind of information can you send someone. There's so much information that organisations produce or are privy to, for example, press releases about new ventures, information about key stakeholders. Again, in our humble opinion, candidates are very enthused about starting a new role. So they do wish to sort of soak up that information and that building that rapport in the connections between that individual and sort of their direct relationships with the most critical stakeholders, if it's okay to introduce pre-start, but particularly sort of team members can, of course, be a critical ingredient to how someone continues to feel about their new employer. And these times, in COVID times, do lend themselves to people sometimes feeling potentially quite disengaged from the process with a new employer. We're conditioned, of course, with the majority of work being still attached in some shape or form to an office, to that physicality. So even more so, it's very important to really think about how that new recruit could feel when they're onboarding into a virtual or wholly virtual setting.
Absolutely. And sort of removing that risk of isolation, so to speak, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Isolation.
And so my final question, which is a very nice plug for our next episode, but thinking about the drawing up an induction plan, right, in this onboarding process, when's the best time to share it with the recruit? Is it the first day of work?
I really don't think it is actually the first day of work, regardless of whatever role you're recruiting into. That plan does need to be shared before the recruit starts. It goes back to that word you selected earlier, Sarah, around vacuum.
Yeah.
Often that is the case. It's quite odd, really, when so much effort often has gone into finding that ideal talent you want to join your organisation and your team. It's really important to avoid that vacuum of communication. And part of that can involve, of course, sharing the overarching focus for the induction plan. It's a great way, of course, to develop a catch-up around that particular topic. So we've heard of examples, great examples, where hiring managers have met over coffee virtually now with their new recruit to rediscuss the focus for the induction plan, and also to get that new hire's involvement into sort of shaping that further. I think also it starts to remove any sense of apprehension or indeed anxiety that a new recruit can feel. Unfortunately, again, we do hear examples, and of course, as the recruiter, we're often chased in that situation where that new recruit hasn't heard until potentially sort of two working days before they start what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
And I think that whilst you don't necessarily need to unveil the exacting detail until potentially even the day itself, to actually give that focus of what it will involve and that structure over a timeline is super helpful. And of course, you know, when travel restrictions ease in roles that are externally facing and involve domestic or in the future sort of international travel, it's incredibly important to share as quickly as possible the induction plan's likelihood of involving travel or nights away from home, because of course that does need to be factored into someone's life on a personal level too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Fiona. And I keep saying thank you because all these nuggets, they sort of like aha moments, right? And as I think about it, it's from one of your very first sentences, you know, remembering this psychological element. And when we think about it, this is part of the pre-start phase and the opportunity to continue the psychological and employer buy-in for that recruit. This is what the onboarding process is about when we take a step back. So thank you.
Pleasure.
I do think you have given us very practical guidance on this topic. But just to finish, you are MD of FJ Wilson Talent Services. What is your company's offer in this area?
Well, we're obviously best known for being a recruiter of roles that are typically at specialist, head of, or director of level, majoring in work with clients who are membership organisations, awarding bodies, learning providers. Mm. But one of the ways in which some clients do use us is on a consultancy level to help design and shape sort of the wider talent agenda from on an ongoing basis in terms of talent development. So one of the services that we offer is that consultancy piece of working with an HR or recruitment team or indeed a hiring manager to really help maximize candidate engagement and to, again, help ensure that that new recruit will be at optimum level of engagement when they start, but also stand the greatest likelihood of, you know, performing and passing their probation, typically at our level. That, of course, is at sort of at the 6 month point after the start date. So that's how we can help. It's really that consultancy piece as being a very experienced senior talent team. We can really sort of share that help on a practical level with our clients.
Excellent. And where can listeners go to find out more about it?
Sure. The best thing is to always call us. So you can reach out to me directly on 0203-195-3600. If you want to kind of have a scan of what we do, then our website is fjwilson.com.
Wonderful. Thank you, Fiona. Thank you to our listeners. And please do join us for our next episode of Recruitment in the Modern World. And the music today for this episode comes courtesy of the composer, Harry Chalmers.